like to do is I'd like to read Paul's prayer here entirely. This is a portion of his prayer, but you'll get the sense that he is indeed praying. And I certainly, among many things, you will notice that he prayed quite differently than we pray sometimes today. And at least in these specific things, he prayed quite differently. And certainly you will notice that we are dealing with a prayer. But in this prayer, Paul prayed for the strength of these believers. He prayed for the strength of this church. And certainly this church of Ephesus, and certainly by application, we are praying for your strength in the Lord as well. And so their strength for today, that's what I've entitled this message. At least the portion that we will deal with is that there is strength for today. So Ephesians chapter number 3, and let's begin in verse number 14, please. The Bible says there, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Would you please join me in prayer? Father, we come before you once again, thanking you for the blessings that we have been able to be showered with already. We count these as blessings from your generous hands, and we've been influenced and encouraged and strengthened by these things that you've committed to us, and we thank you for it, Father. We were able to listen in on Sunday school, and what a blessing that was to us. And we count again, we thank you for your servant, but we count again that blessing to be from you, something you gave us. And therefore, we find ourselves again receptive and open and available to thus saith you. And so, Father, we pray that we praise you for the time we were able to worship. And Lord, there's really only one time a week where we get together like this in the church to bless your name. Certainly every day should be an expression of worship, but nothing like a Sunday morning collective, unified worship of you as a true and living God. And so, Father, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that this morning, and how blessed we were in participating in that. And so, Father, now speak to us, please. We stand before you, we wait before you, we look to you, and we know that you will meet our needs. And no question in our minds about that. And so, Father, we ask that you would have supervisory care over this part of the service also. Use me to glorify yourself. That is my desire. That is the desire of each individual here. When we need to be in learning mode, Father, help us to learn. Where we need to be active, Father, please activate us. And certainly all of it is for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Strength for today. I love the idea that we can peep over the shoulder of one of God's choicest servants in the middle of his prayer time. I love that idea that we can look in on what he's praying about and see for ourselves not hear it secondhand, but see for ourselves exactly some of the stuff that was on his prayer list. And I marvel once again, and I am thankful once again, just like you are. And I find, though, that Paul prayed about some things quite differently than I tend to pray. And I perceive that perhaps many of us pray quite differently than what we see transpiring and unfolding in these verses that we read in your hearing. But I guarantee you that based on the word of God, there is strength for today. And so Paul says that he bows his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I think it's safe to conclude he's in a prayer time, right? He's praying. He's praying. And he remembered you when he prayed. He remembered me when he prayed. Certainly, in the immediate context, he is praying for these Ephesians. But by extension, beloved, these are things that God desires for you and for me as well. I want to pose something of a scenario. You may be able to relate, you may not, I don't know. But allow me to present a scenario. Many Christians go through life without knowing the dynamics of the Christian life. They go through experiences and they find that, okay, we went through that, but I'm not sure it was a divine experience. I don't have to tell you that we can go through a lot of stuff and God doesn't have to be about any of it, right? At the same time, we can be a part of something that God is orchestrating, and we feel and we sense in our spirits deep within that this is a God thing. And we're immediately on board, right? And I don't have to convince you or wring your arm and help you think about this, but it doesn't take much before going through an unreal experience becomes quite wearisome, right? And going through that, we find ourselves on the brink of wanting to quit, but we know we should stay with it. Do I quit or do I stay with it? Do I quit or do I stay with it? Because it's wearisome when the experience is not authentic. We're just kind of making it up. We're kind of pretending it is something from God. We're kind of going through the motions, doing the right things, in many cases saying the right things, but we're not quite convinced that it's of God and that God is behind it, that God is orchestrating it, and we're getting on board with what he is doing. Now, if you have never been there, I pray that you will never be there. But I have. I have done it. Yep. I have gone through the motions. I have said the right things. I have done what I was expected to do at the right time. And God not be a part of what I am involved with. The world would look on it and say, man, that's of God. The world would stand by and say, man, that's a God thing. The world would stand back and say, man, God was all over that. But the people of God who are discerning would know. And certainly God himself would know. right? And so we're not of the mindset that we want to fake it until we make it. No. No, we're not of that mindset at all. We want to be authentic, and we want to be involved with a God thing that He is doing presently on the planet in Kingstown, in this community, in this area, and you and I are a part of that. We want that, right? So we are not of the mindset that we fake it until we make it. We know how we can make it right now. And it takes strength from God. Oh, you will have to use your skills, your abilities, your knowledge, your strength that you have. You will have to use that. Yeah, correctly concluded. But not in the capacity of you as opposed to God. But God taking advantage of you and all the strengths that you have, and you, God using you to do what He wants to have done. Are you on board with that? Amen. You see, I fake it long enough and often enough to know there is no profit in that. It's a waste of time. And I didn't come to waste your time, nor mine for that matter, right? You want something that is real. You want something that transcends this world. You want something that transcends the circumference of you. You want something that moves beyond the borders of your perspective, your limitations, and your ideas to move into the realm of what God expects and what God wants. And what He wants is far greater than anything we can imagine in and of ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, beloved, that we will have to receive strength from God to become that kind of Christian. You say, well, Brother McCray, I am willing to surrender myself to God. Well, that's good. That's part of it. But do you know what God wants to do? That's part of it too. And so it means then, beloved, that we have to grow. We have to change. We have to evolve, to use a common current vernacular, right? We have to become more like God than we are like ourselves originally. Change is something that's uncomfortable. It is, right? It can be intimidating. It can mean that I am no longer who I used to be. And the people around me may not be comfortable with that idea of me changing. And the people around me may want me to kind of fit into their idea of what they think I ought to be, when in essence, I need to become what God wants me to be. Change is uncomfortable. Change is challenging. There are ways that we perceive that God might do this thing. But get ready, because God is going to blow your mind also. And let's be honest, why wouldn't He? I mean, do we really think that we have a fix on what God wants to do in and with and through us? Do we really believe that we have a fix on that? I think we all can safely conclude then that growth to the capacity that God wants will require me changing. And as long as I become more like Christ, which is God's goal for each of us, right? We'll be okay. Some people may not like it. We're okay with that. We hope to influence them for Christ, but we're okay with that. Amen. Amen. And amen. Looking over an apostle's shoulder into his prayer life can be dangerous. Can it? Yeah. It's good for us. And we want all of it. Now, to get ourselves out of the capacity or out of the zone or out of the lane of those who just go through the motions, we want to see and understand that we need to have strength. So this strength is a strength for living, first of all, and I want you to see it in verse 16. I want you to see that what you're deciding to do is 100% what God wants to see happen in your and my life. Look at verse 16 now. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Stop right there. That's as far as I'll go. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy? Whew. Brother McCray, you had me scared there for a minute. I'm glad you're only going that far. But listen, there's a challenge in that. Did you notice? It says, according to the riches of his glory. Did you see that? How great is the glory of God? Can any of us yet say that we have imagined how glorious he really is? I would submit to you and me that we have some growing to do. Amen? Amen. Then he says, to be strengthened. He's telling us outrightly that you will need to be strengthened to do this. To become this, you will need to be strengthened. In other words, you don't currently have the capacity in and of yourself. You need something supernatural that came from God, communicated through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. You need something else. And you must depend on God for it. You can't get it at Walmart. You can go to Kmart, but you will not find it on the shelves. You must go exclusively to one place, and that's to God. I love something I saw in Sunday school this morning. Someone submitted a prayer request. It was literally developing in the moment, in the moment, in the moment. It was developing, and the leader of the Sunday school literally stopped and said, "Let's pray." Admitting, God, there's some things we don't know, but you know, we appeal to the one who is able to make a real difference. And when he does, he receives the glory. Amen? So, beloved, when God says that you and I need to be strengthened, he's talking about changing us. Are you on board with that? Is that okay with you? You say, Brother McCray, you're kind of in my business already. Yep. Take it from a guy who has faked it more times than I care to count. Authenticity is what God puts value on. Authenticity is what he appreciates. And we demonstrate that we are wise when we literally avail ourselves to him in all the vulnerableness of ourselves, in every strength we have, every weakness we have, expecting from him that he will strengthen us in the execution of his will. You say, Brother McCray, but some people don't know my vulnerabilities. I've never admitted it to them. I'm not asking you to tell me about it. But do you have the capacity to be honest with God about it? He already knows. But it helps you and me to admit to Him that we have needs. Strengthen. Not only that, but strengthen with might. I'm going somewhere with this. I promise. The introduction is long. I got it. The message is short. Promise. Okay? Strengthen with might. What in the world is that, Brother McCray? I'm glad you asked. You always ask the best questions. My goodness. Good on you. Good on you. But God wants to strengthen us with a certain kind of strength, not just any kind of strength, but might. I'll show you what that means in just a moment. He wants to strengthen us with might. Now, there's a certain target that God has inside you and me. It's the inner man. He wants to strengthen us with His kind of might, and He's looking primarily at your inner man. Okay? Brother McCray, I don't quite understand what that is. I got it. I got it. I had to struggle with it too. You're in good company, right? And I will deal with it more. But simply to say, it's this essentially. There is a part of you that is physical, and there's an aspect of you that is immaterial. It is that immaterial part that God is targeting. Now, your inner man consists of your emotions, how you feel about things. Your inner man consists of your thoughts, your intellect, how you think about things. All right? Your inner man also encompasses your will, your volition, what you will do. And God is targeting that part of you. Beloved, if I really wanted to get to the real you, I'm coming straight to the inner man. You see, if I can influence how you think, if I can influence what you think is important and how you feel, if I can influence what you do, I got you. I got you. Are you understanding? God is not playing games, nor is He pretentious. He's aiming for you. The real you. Amen. Amen. And amen. You say, Brother McCray, what if I don't get fulfilled with God targeting that part of my life? Believe me. Some of what you and I value will shift. But I can't imagine being dissatisfied with something God does in my life. I can't even begin to imagine that. You say, but Brother McCray, I really like to maintain control. Well, you just sit and think about that a minute. You in control or God in control? You sit and think about that for a minute. Uh-huh. You came to the right conclusion. Amen. Amen. Every single one of us would rather God be in control. Now, that's the introduction. Aren't you glad that introduction was painless? It's all right to have fun every now and then, all right? Very quickly, let me deal with the particulars here. Strength for living. God is saying he will strengthen us. He will strengthen us with might. And he will do this by his Spirit in the inner man. Okay, strengthen. Let's deal with that for a minute here. To be strengthened means to overcome resistance. Okay, what is the resistance that I need to overcome? You see, you and I are, if you're saved, then you and I are two trees. There are two aspects of each of us who are saved, right? There's the spirit dominated part of us, and there's the old us, right? You follow me? So to be strengthened means then that the spiritual part of us that came alive when we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior is still alive. If you're saved today, it's still alive. And watch it now. The Bible teaches literally that God wants to strengthen that part of you. But it will not be without a struggle on your and my experience level. Because we will want to capitulate to what is familiar to us and rely on the old man, the old nature, the fallen part of us. But God guarantees that he will give us strength to overcome that old man so that more of the new man is expressed. You don't eliminate the old man in this life, but you can dominate him. It's kind of like two dogs in a fight, you know? Which dog is going to win the fight, Brother McCray? Well, the one you fed most. Amen. If we are feeding the old man, the old nature, then it's going to be stronger. But if we presume, like God wants us to feed the new nature, then we will become people who get stronger and we can overcome the capacity of our old nature. Amen. Sign me up. I'm on board with that idea. I have lived by the flesh. I don't want to live by it anymore. Give me what God has, all right? Okay. Strengthen. Watch it now. Strengthen with might. You see that in your Bible, verse 16? Strengthen with might. There's a word that we use sometimes to describe that might. We don't say might necessarily initially. We may say dynamite. Yeah. I remember a show, this may be dating me a little bit, but the show was Good Times. And there was a gentleman on that show by the name of, they called him JJ, James Jr., I believe it was. And whenever James Jr. got excited, he would say, "Dynamite!" It literally means that something wonderful and explosive happened. And so when God says he wants to strengthen us with might, he is literally talking about something dynamic and dynamite happening and transformative in nature happening that literally renders you and me different than we were before. Ooh-wee. Boy, there's a lot of places I could go to preach on that. Time. It is the same thing that Jesus required in Luke 24 and verse 49, where Jesus guaranteed this same vibrant energy where he said, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. It's the same idea, this idea of might and power and Jesus requiring that they wait in Jerusalem until they are endued with such power, with such might. Well, weren't they intellectually sharp already? They were. We're talking about disciples, right? Weren't they emotionally stable already? Again, I think relatively they were disciples, right? Did not they have experience in ministry? Sure, Jesus had himself sent them out on several cases and several instances to be involved with ministry. They had broad and wide experience with ministry. So why not just send them out? Why have them wait in Jerusalem? Because what would happen in Jerusalem would be permanent for every child of God afterwards, and they would be strengthened with might or power, or let me put it plainly, by the Holy Spirit of God coming upon them and indwelling them finally and completely. You say, well, Brother McCray, I got saved a long time ago. That's good. That means that you have God. The question in this passage is, does God have you? That's different, right? Right? It is. If you're tracking, that's different. It is true that when you got saved and trusted Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God took up habitation in your and my spirit, making it alive, regenerating us, making us a child of God, giving us the right to call God our Father. Yeah, all of that is true. But is your and my life imbued with power from on high on a daily basis? That's what's predicted here. You say, well, I'm smart enough. That's not what God is asking you to do. You say, well, I'm emotionally stable enough. That's not what God is asking for. You see, beloved, we have to come to the place where we understand that what God needs is something supernatural to work in and with and through. Not just us. You say, Brother McCray, this is doing nothing for my high sense of self-esteem. Good. Good. Because God wants to use you, yes. You are essential to this happening, yes. And without God intervening and empowering us, we will continue to go through the same whole humdrum kind of Christianity, claiming stuff is of God when God had nothing to do about it until we get tired and quit one day. And God is looking for people who will not give up and quit, but God is looking for people who will stay the course because He is empowering that life. Amen. Amen. This internal behavior altering capacity is depicted for us in Colossians 1 and verse 18. It says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. Did you notice that? The Bible commands us to be strengthened with all power, all might, all power, every capacity that the Spirit of God is inclined to give us. He wants us to be available to that. Watch it. He didn't stop there. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Again, this is something that is according to the power of God, not the power of a human being, not the power of me. We have bought into this idea that the power of me is enough. Are you reading your Bible? It's not. You might get along in this world just fine with the power of you. But to do things God's way and to have God's strength, you're going to have to learn what it means for God to give you strength that you don't necessarily possess. It's then that we move outside of ourselves into realms that God has willed for us, and we're not afraid to do that because thou art with me. Forgive me for taking too long on this. It's not you, it's me. I need to get this point across, though. All right? Okay? Right? So I'm asking you, I'm begging you. I'm going to try this. I'm down on bending knees begging you to let me show you this. All right? If I had the capacity for showing it to you in another way and just intelligently communicating it to you, I would choose that. But I don't have that capacity. But did you see that? Did you see what is promised? Did you see what is commanded? Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Somehow or another, I tend to believe, okay, I get on board with God and everything will be hunky-dory from here. It will be great. Until we read the rest of what Colossians promises. It tells us, beloved, unto all patience, you had to bring that up, right? Yep. Yeah, it's there. And long suffering. Watch this kicker. With joyfulness. Okay, patience means that I am watching now. I am intentionally waiting and looking to God, though my circumstances are not what I would choose, I am still looking and waiting and expecting God to give me what I need and to meet the need in this situation. Patience is very situation-oriented. Long-suffering is people-oriented. Now, I find all of you great to get along with.
Amen.
I do. I can say that. I don't know half of you. I'm being honest, right? I like to get to know you better. That would be a blessing to me. I know that. But long-suffering, that's a people thing. You know what it means to be long-suffering, right? If you didn't know, I'm glad you're here. Because it means to suffer long with that person. Say, but Brother McCray, they get on my last nerves. And God says, learn to suffer long with them. Listen to me, beloved. I'm sure the guy that was discipling me, shook his head more than once. I'm sure that the guy that was trying to bring me along in Christ looked at me and said, God, I don't know what you're going to do with that. He needs a miracle. I'm sure that he bowed his head in prayer and just shook it every now and then. But because of his long suffering with me, I'm a child of God and living for God today. I may not be excellent at it, but I'm living for him. I'm so thankful that he was long suffering. Now, anybody can be patient and long suffering and cranky. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm waiting on God for this. And they say it with something of an attitude, right? But when you find a person who is exercising patience and long-suffering and their life is marked with joyfulness, oh my goodness, that's a God thing. God is at work in that life. Boy, there's a lot of preaching territory right there. I better move on. Strengthened with might by his spirit. Let me give you the last one. I need to hurry. In the inner man. It is strength for living. It is might for living. And then lastly, it is renewal for living. The inner man. I've given you some thoughts already on this. But the new life that God places in each and every one of us as children of God, he wants to renew it often. You see, we don't get what the capacity we need and, okay, we're good to go forever. You have to go back and get more. Sometimes, in the same hour, you have to go back and get more. And this keeps you and me humble, and it keeps us connected to God. Are you hearing me? God will not have you and me walking around with our chest sticking out saying, all of this is happening because of me. Yep. No. You will have to stay humble, acknowledging, God, I ran out again. I know I'm supposed to be long-suffering right here, but boy, I sure want to give that sister a piece of my mind. I know I'm supposed to be patient in this situation, but this government shutdown has taken far longer than I expected. I know that I'm supposed to be patient, but I am not guaranteed my next paycheck. Are you hearing me? And so it helps us to be able to acknowledge to God, God, I don't have what it takes to do your work and your will, but you can do it through me. I yield myself to you afresh. Fill me again. Renew me. Give me the capacity to press on. Amen. Amen. And amen. Because the best thing for you and me is God. The best thing we can do with our lives is steward them to achieve God's purpose, God's plan, God's will. And God promises he will give you the strength you need, the capacity you need to do that. You and I don't have that in and of ourselves, but God is willing, God is gracious to give us the capacity to live up to his expectations of us. I don't know about you, but I'm not the most thinking guy in the world. But pray tell me, that sounds like a win-win. Right? I mean, that sounds like a winner. That's the kind of deal where you say, okay, I have thought about this. Okay, sign me up. Right? Sign me up. I'm on board with that. I'll take it, Lord. Fill me with your spirit so that I am not merely drunk with wine in it, wherein it is excess, but I am filled with your spirit. And as such, I can execute any element, jot or tittle of your plan and see it as something significant, even when the world says it's no big deal. Do you see it? To be strengthened, we're admitting something. I don't have the capacity to do it. To be strengthened with might means, again, God must do something to give me the capacity to operate on that level. I'm not there yet. I will never be there. God must give me the capacity to operate on that level. I am utterly dependent upon him to operate like that. And God is aiming for your inner person, the most true you there is. God is aiming for that you. So expect then that what you think is important will change. It will. To change to be what God thinks is important. How you feel about something, expect that to change too. And we need to be okay with that. I'll say this. You can shoot me afterwards, all right? But if you have been listening to your culture to tell you what is important and how you should feel about anything, then you have been giving ears to the wrong person or persons. Amen. There's a culture that is heavenly, that is godly, that is from God. You and I had best get our information from him. It's all right to pledge allegiance to a flag. But before you do that, make sure your allegiance really lies with God. Amen. You're devoted to him and him first and foremost. Say, Brother McCray, you get yourself in trouble with that. I counted the cost a long time ago, beloved. And I swim, sink, or drown going with God. Amen. Amen. I think I can sit down and shut up. I think I can do that. I don't remember. Wait a minute. Let's find it here. John R. Rice made this statement. He said, he says, let me find it here, the beginning of it. But after all, there is only one who can bring us out of our difficulties in our nation, in our homes, and in our churches. Yea, even in the depths of our hearts. You guess who that one is. You're struggling this morning with realities in the nation. You may be struggling with realities that are in your home. You may even be struggling with what you perceive as difficulties in your heart. You need to be looking in one location this morning. one location. Amen? Amen. I want to pray with you. Can I do that? And then we'll have an invitation time. Father, thank you for the opportunity that is ours. The chance to hear from your word. The chance to make some decisions. And Lord, there is much more in this prayer of Paul, but the things that we have seen already illuminate us to understand that we need you. We need you. All of this is beyond us. And we are in need of you. Father, we avail ourselves to you to do in us and with us and through us your wonderful will. And Father, may it be all about you and your glory and not so much about us. Father, help us in this time to recognize that in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and if you can, would you stand with me this morning quietly? You can convert the place where you're standing or sitting into a prayer altar, a place where you meet with God. Or you can come forward. There's room here at the altar. There's room on these front rows. And the invitation is that you would come and spend time with the Lord. All of it is for naught if we miss this opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. So you're invited. You're encouraged. I would even say I am pleading with you to come. Talk with him about it. For some of you, you would say, Lord, I need to be strengthened. Come on, tell God about that. Some of us would say, God, I need to be strengthened with might. I need your Holy Spirit's power in and on my life on a daily basis. If that's you, then come on, please, come on. Tell him all about it and ask God to fill you afresh with his power. Perhaps some of us would say, you know, I struggle with thinking right. I struggle with feeling right. I struggle with doing the right thing. I'm struggling, and I don't want to be that way, but I am. I'm just honest about that. Why don't you come to God this morning and yield it all to him? God, everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Affect, influence, fill my inner man. Give me the capacity to want. Give me the capacity to feel. Give me the capacity to think. Give me the capacity to act, to do. Influence my inner man. Would you do that this morning? The altar is yours. The opportunity is also yours. You're invited in the company of those who love you in Christ to come. Maybe some of this is foreign. Some of this is strange even. You're not sure about a lot of it. It sounds right. It feels right even. But a lot of it you're unsure about. You cannot recall a time in your life where you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're not even sure what that is. You can't recount a time when you acknowledge your sin and accepted Jesus Christ who paid for my sin, was buried, and rose again. You can't recall that. It's to you that I'm talking to right now then. I want you to step out from where you are. Make your way forward. There are folk already standing by, waiting to enthusiastically receive you. As you prepare to receive the Lord Jesus as your very own Savior. You're invited. Come on, right now, step out. Come on, come on. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let anybody get in your way. Come on, even right now. We'll take the Bible and show you from God's Word, step by step, how you too can trust Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior. Come on, come on, come on, come on. If somebody is to your left or to your right, just say, "Excuse me. Please allow me to just pass by." It's okay. You're in the company of people who love you in the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be our last verse. We're not going to tarry forever. Perhaps this is your verse. If God is speaking to you, come on, come on, come on, come on.